Welcome to the ProWrestling.net All Access Podcast. I'm Jason Powell here with a review of the WWE SmackDown show that aired on Thursday, April 23rd, 2015. The show was taped on Tuesday in Providence, Rhode Island. Our own Zach Zimmerman was in attendance for the show. Thanks to him for supplying the spoiler update on Tuesday. And also thanks to John Moore, who filled in last night for Jake Barnett on SmackDown coverage. Jake is in the process of moving the family to Austin, Texas, so he will be back with his audio updates and his live coverage reviews here in, I hope, a couple of weeks, but we're just going to kind of wait and see when Jake is able to settle in. And so John is filling in on with coverage in the meantime. No live coverage, just it just didn't work out at this point, but Jake will be back with that again in the very near future. SmackDown last night I thought was a good, solid television show. It was the two-hour format rather than the 3 hours, always helpful, and I thought they were fairly focused on the pay-per-view. They didn't wow me about it. They didn't really move me when it comes to getting me all fired up about Sunday's Extreme Rules show, but I don't know what they could do at this point to really get me fired up for that Extreme Rules event. It's not that I'm just sitting here dreading it, but it feels like that pay-per-view after WrestleMania. I'm not anxious for it to arrive, but I think once it gets here, it should be a fun three-hour show. Live coverage of that coming up on Sunday. I will be covering the beginning with the kickoff show on Sunday afternoon, or Sunday night, I guess, at 6 p.m. Central Time, 7 Eastern Time, and then all the way through the pay-per-view. And also, .NET members will have exclusive access to my audio review of that show on Sunday night. And if you would like to hear that audio review and all of our member exclusive audio content, including Thursday's .NET Weekly audio show, where Will Pruitt and I got together for roughly 90 some minutes and discussed this pay-per-view in great detail and ran through all the news of the week. And you'll also hear the pretentious pro wrestling podcast hosted by Will Pruitt and Jake Barnett. Jake is, again, he's on leave right now as he settles in with the cross-country move, but those guys get together on a weekly basis and discuss all things pro wrestling as well. My Raw audio reviews. If you used to listen to ProWrestling.net live on Monday nights and you're like, I kind of miss that show, well, just know that on Monday nights I provide a review exclusively for the .NET members of the WWE Raw show and much more. It is an ad-free version of the website. If you have an iPhone or an Android phone and you have downloaded our free apps, and at this point I don't know why you wouldn't, then you can score all the perks of membership right there on your phone once you sign up for membership. Again, all the details available on the main page at ProWrestling.net. Membership rates start as low as $5.50 for 1 month if you take our annual option. You just want to try it out for a month and see if it's a good fit for you. $7.50, and there's also a price break at 6 months as well. So again, all the details available on the main page. Just look for the sign-up area for ProWrestling.net. Back into SmackDown. Things opened up with Seth Rollins. He had J&J Security with him, and we also had Jerry Lawler, Tom Phillips, and Byron Saxton on commentary. I like that they've made Phillips a regular on SmackDown. We just don't need that much Michael Cole. We don't need 3 hours on Raw, 2 hours on SmackDown, an hour on Main Event, then pay-per-view. It's just too much. Anyone, that would be overexposure for anyone. And so I think it's good that WWE is preparing for life after Michael Cole, or at least whether it's that approach or just, like I say, trying to cut back on the overexposure and really the just overworking the guy. I think it's logical. And as I wrote in today's hit list, it's available on the main page of ProWrestling.net, I would like to see them basically use Main Event and superstars to break in other play-by-play voices and even other color commentators. I know it. I don't think we need a three-man team. That jumped out at me again watching this. Raw is one thing. I mean, I just kind of assume they're going to stick with that. That's been their format for so long. I'm not a big advocate of it. But on SmackDown, I just don't see what purpose Byron Saxton is really serving. I mean, I barely hear him. It's just Tom Phillips making the call and Jerry Lawler chiming in, and then Saxton once in a while. And I don't blame Saxton for this, because in WWE, the third man's role isn't very well defined. They don't do a good job with that. It just feels like, well, this is what we do, so why would we change it? And I'd rather see Saxton kind of I want them to figure out what Saxton is going to be. We heard him on Raw, and he wasn't a very good play-by-play voice, and Jim Ross, even in his blog, made a comment that he doesn't know if it's, you know, he thinks Saxton has a bright future, but he doesn't know if it's as a play-by-play voice. And if that's the case, cool. But find a character, find something, you know, that hey, find a reason why he needs to do this. WWE needs to help him on the production side. Come up with a reason why viewers should pay attention to what Byron Saxton is saying as a color commentator. You know, usually most color commentators are former wrestlers or just, you know, some that provide some insight. You go to mainstream sports, it's usually a former, if it's an NFL coverage, it's a former NFL player or a coach or something like that. Why are we listening to Byron Saxton? What is it about Byron Saxton that we are supposed to respect as a listener? And so I think they need to work on that. And yes, I know Saxton has a future, you know, or has a past in the ring, but to the average WWE fan, they're not aware of that. So I think they need to do a much better job with him. And I would even be in favor of just cutting it back to a two-man team until they do that. Let him kind of cut his teeth, go back to Superstars, go back to Main Event, and I know he still does some work for NXT. I'm not saying get rid of the guy, but I just don't really see what purpose he's serving on Thursday nights on that television show. But as for the opening segment, it was Seth Rollins kind of gloating a little bit, talking about his match. Kane came out. Kane is the gatekeeper for the cage match on Sunday where the RKO was banned. And Kane basically made it clear that, hey, I did it for you. Now you're going to lay down for me. And Rollins did a good job of putting up a fuss, saying, hey, I'm the WWE champion. And Kane told him, no problem. It's a non-title match. And but he still wanted him to lie down. And Rollins eventually very reluctantly did. And then Kane, just as it looked like he was going to cover him, says, I'm just kidding, man. And basically saying that, we're all part of the authority. What happened to your sense of humor? I thought that was really well done. And the crowd was into it. It was kind of just, I thought Rollins played his part well. Kane is doing a really good job with this. You know, when they give him something he can stick his teeth into, you go back to Daniel Bryan and Kane, he makes the most of it. You know, he's written horribly at times, but he's doing a really good job here. So I don't know where they're going with Kane. My guess is that he slams the cage door shut on Randy Orton, and this is a big swerve, but I don't know. I mean, I mentioned in .NET Weekly the possibility that, okay, they have a finish that doesn't involve Kane, and then Orton's ready, or Rollins is ready to leave the cage, and, well, the gate master, the gatekeeper, says, no, not so fast. And then Randy gets to hit his RKO on Rollins to send the crowd home happy, something like that. So we'll see. I don't know if they planned. I hope it's not as basic as just a swerve. But either way, as much as I just kind of roll my eyes at that scenario, I think adding Kane to this mix has added something to the match. I'm not looking forward to Rollins versus Kane on a regular basis, if that's where they're going. But I think adding him to this cage match as the gatekeeper, I don't think it's going to it's not going to lead to a ton of network subscriptions or anything, but I think it makes the match just a little bit more compelling because I think most people are looking at it going, it's Rollins' first pay-per-view title defense. He's probably not losing. But I wonder what's going to happen with Kane. Just kind of a mild curiosity thing. I don't think it hurts the match. I think it helps it. But Kane, he did end up telling, so even though it was all fun and games and, I'm just kidding, man, he ended up booking him in a match against, his rival, Dean Ambrose. And Rollins was not happy about this. That match was, Ambrose came out for the match, and then Luke Harper came out and attacked him because they're having the Chicago street fight on Sunday. And then it turned out that Roman Reigns ran out and made the save. So all of this, and as John put it in his report, which I'm following along with right now, and you can too on the main page of ProWrestling.net, he says, Kane stood calmly at ringside. Yes, he did. It was pretty comical that he just kind of stood there and watched the whole thing play out. He did not get involved physically. And so it was set up, though, eventually that Reigns would team with Ambrose in kind of a two-thirds of the Shield reunion to face the other member of the Shield, Seth Rollins, and Luke Harper in the main event of SmackDown. They actually announced that coming out of the commercial break, I believe. Then we ended up with Neville and Dolph Ziggler with the kind of the pop box promo, and it was Dolph talking a little bit about the Kiss Me Arse match and how he's going to make Sheamus kiss his own arse, and then we had Neville just kind of standing by. They're going to take down some bullies, that kind of thing. And that led to the second match. It was Dolph Ziggler and Neville beating Bad News Barrett and Sheamus in 5 minutes and 10 seconds. A little bit surprised by the outcome of this. I thought they might use this as an opportunity to put some heat on the heels going into the pay-per-view because, let's face it, they never shy away from having Dolph Ziggler lose. And they've had Neville lose to Dolph Ziggler. So I really thought, like, all right. I remember when the taping spoilers were coming in. I'm like, okay. As soon as I think it was Zach told me that this match was coming up, or our other correspondent, whose name escapes me, with thank you to him as well. We've had a couple of them, but we had another guy sending in live updates. And so even though I don't have your name handy here at the moment, I do thank you if you're listening. And but he one of the two said that match was up, and I'm like, okay, so the heels go over here, and no. It was. It actually ended up being Neville hitting the red arrow on Barrett and pinning him. I don't know what you read into this as far as, Barrett supposedly challenging Daniel Bryan on Sunday if Daniel Bryan's health permits, and we still don't have any official word from WWE. I don't know if he's going to be there or not. Do you read into this that, well, Barrett's losing, so that probably means they know they're not going forward with the match? I'm not sure. Could they do something where Barrett gets cocky and he takes the win by forfeit, and then Neville comes out and challenges him at the pay-per-view? Just throwing it out there. But good action here. I like the match, and even though I thought the heels would end up going over to put some heat on them, I'm not going to complain when Neville ends up getting a win. I think he needs that, and hopefully this is a sign that he's not going to be just another guy in WWE, and they actually have some plans for the former NXT champion. Byron Saxton had a recap of Triple H's Tough Enough announcement, and they're inviting people to send in their videos. They showed some of them. There was only one that kind of made me laugh. There was a really heavy-set guy with a shirt off flexing, and he thought he was all that, I think. But those are the ones I want to see. Give me the ones where it's like not the people who are trying to be funny, but the people who really think they have that, you know, just some guy that weighs 105 pounds and has never lifted a weight in his life and has no athletic ability whatsoever thinking he's going to headline WrestleMania. Give me those people. That's what I'm looking for. And from there, they started hyping Rusev and Ryback, which it was advertised on Raw, and they were interrupted by the Bray Wyatt sounder. It always occurs, it's never like in the middle of anything important, if you notice. Bray is a very, very polite cult leader. I keep saying that because it's amazing how polite the man is with his interruptions. But he just kind of more of the same here. He just talked about how your strength is an illusion and you can't fool him. And he says he knows what drives you, and I know what motivates you. And Wyatt said it is fear. It runs through you. And he said he's going to expose you for the weakling that you are, and that he was going to take the one thing that you can't live without. And he said, what's the use of a butterfly without wings? I don't know. I mean, I just keep going, I keep looking at it going, okay, could be the main event cage match. Maybe we get the Bray Wyatt hologram again. Let's hope not. Maybe, you know, is he going after Randy Orton? Is he interrupting Big Show Roman Reigns? Will Pruitt throughout the idea of Ryback because of the whole, he made some reference to somebody lifting a lot of weights, but Ryback's not even advertised. Doesn't mean they can't do something, but it's just, and John also thought that, it, you know, he said add more points to Ryback being Wyatt's next feud. And it's possible. It does, and there's no guarantee this plays out at the pay-per-view. And if that's it, hey, I'm all for it. It's once again Wyatt in a program where both guys need wins. You know, and because I think Ryback does have a little bit of momentum right now that WWE could capitalize on, and then Wyatt just needs victories. And so I don't know where it's going. It could be Ryback. It could be something that plays out on Sunday that doesn't involve Ryback. Problem is, I'm not sitting here losing any sleep. I'm not all that intrigued by it. I'm just like, hey, whatever. It's another Bray Wyatt promo. I wish they would show some creativity with this guy. I mean, he puts a lot of thought into these promos, clearly. And, you know, we can sit here and say, well, yeah, but he's saying a lot of nothing. And he is. But they're not giving him a whole lot to work with. You know, they're not. It's kind of a mystery as far as who he's going after, and you could have a little bit of fun with that. And I think he's tried to, but I want them to, like, make this guy matter. I want him to be an in-ring force and not just some guy that loses the majority of his matches but does a lot of talking. And so he had a one-sided verbal battle. I guess you can't even call it that when it was just all the one-sided promos building up to the Undertaker match because they didn't have Taker on the show before WrestleMania. And then now he's been cutting promos in basically the same setting about this mystery person that he's going after. And so can we get to the part where can they show the same creativity that they did at NXT when you ended up having, you know, Bray Wyatt would like venture outside the building. He, you know, they would shoot him in these country settings. He'd be in a barn. WWE did that the very first night with the Wyatt Family Compound. I'd like to see more of that type of thing. Just get him outside the campy-looking back, dark backstage area with the campy fog machine going, and turn this guy loose. Third match, we had Naomi defeating Natalya in 225. She was heelish here. She still comes out to Funk is on a roll, which baffles me. And she still uses Iceman King Parsons' butt-butt finisher. She calls it the rear view. That doesn't seem like a heel finisher to me, and that music certainly doesn't sound heelish to me. Go all the way with the repackaging, WWE. I think Naomi's okay, and Natalya got a pretty good match out of her. You know, it was just a brief match, but still, you know, solid Divas television match. Then we ended up with the primetime players mocking another tag team. You've heard of accentuate the positives and hide the negatives. Well, WWE does the opposite with the tag division, and they use the primetime players to do this. We've seen them mock and ridicule the Ascension and Los Matadores, which, you know, with those guys, it's like, doesn't matter. I mean, they're just, they are what they are, and I don't see that really changing. But now they're going after Cesaro and Tyson Kidd, and they're kind of mocking Cesaro, well, for being Swiss, wearing a beret. And it's, you know, I'm not a big fan of it. It's just like you're just pointing out all of the flaws with everyone in the already flawed tag division. And I don't think they're all that entertaining. I'm not laughing during the primetime players. It was, you know, we've seen it in the past in wrestling where, yeah, you can say DX or the NWO went too far in dressing someone down, but at least they would do it in a comical way where these guys, they're just not that funny. And then their millions of dollar dance, some like it. I don't see the thrill in it either. We went to the ring where Rusev cut a promo heading into his match with John Cena, and Lana was with him. And then we ended up with Ryback beating Rusev by DQ in 6:29. Pretty good match. These guys have worked together in the past, and they do pretty well together. This is a program I think we could see, you know, a real program between these guys at some point. Maybe if Rusev regains the U.S. Championship, I don't know what direction they're going in there, but if that is the plan, I could see Ryback ultimately becoming one of his, you know, a real challenger, more than just kind of a one-off on television, but, you know, get a 2-3 month program, because they do work pretty well together. And this was no exception, and Ryback ended up basically eating the chain. Rusev performed the accolade on him with the chain wrapped around his face, and there's your DQ. From there, we went to Seth Rollins and J&J Security looking for Luke Harper. They found him. He wasn't talking. Jamie Noble said he could communicate with him because they're related. So that was kind of a fun revelation. Then we ended up with he wasn't getting through to him, so Joey Mercury started doing some, like, miming, basically, trying to get his attention, and then Harper just all of a sudden, like, snaps out of this trance that he's in, basically, and starts choking him, and he said that he broke his concentration. He was basically thinking about all the things he was going to do in that main event, and then he told Seth Rollins not to get in his way, and Rollins looked kind of surprised by all of this. Let this please be a sign that they intend to do more with Luke Harper. They have something there. This guy is so talented, and he can actually, you know, talk in a way that fits his character. There's so much more to do with him than what WWE has. The whole Wyatt family breakup has been a complete disaster. You know, the Shield went one way, and they've done pretty well for themselves. Where the Wyatt family, you just look back and wonder, why did they break these guys up if they really didn't have any good plans for them? Hopefully this is a sign they're going to do more with Luke Harper, because I think he can be a player for them. After commercial break, it was time for the New Day, and they basically were being, you know, this is what we kind of envisioned from the start with this, when they started airing those New Day vignettes, like, oh, they have to be heels. WWE, Vince McMahon, I still don't think, like, he had any intention of turning these guys. Like, it was all master plan, and yeah, they'd annoy people and then turn heel. I actually think he really believed that what they were doing was going to get over. Now that they're heelish, it's not bad. It's working. The fans are responsive with the, you know, the clapping and the New Day sucks chants that they're now trying to basically draw. And this led to a singles match between, it was Kofi Kingston, who had Xavier Woods and Big E with him, beating Cesaro, who had Tyson Kidd with him, in 1 minute and 31 seconds. And it was as the 91 seconds will, you know, pretty much suggest, it was very brief, but I think they accomplished what they needed to. There was some quick action with, you know, the teammates getting involved, and then you ended up with Kofi hitting Trouble in Paradise on Cesaro and pinning him after all the commotion. And so they did what they needed to here. They could have given them more time, but they did what they needed to. They just, let's face it, it's the kickoff match. It's not, you know, the title match. So it didn't need to be long, but they made it seem like the challengers have a chance to beat the champions, essentially. Then we went to Big Show. This was a pre-tape promo, they said, from earlier in the day, and he just talked about his match with Roman Reigns, not much to it. Then we went to, and I'm kind of curious where Big Show was, because I don't think he was on Raw either. So I don't know that this was necessarily filmed on Tuesday. Although I think he did work the Dark Man event. I'm pretty sure he did. So maybe he actually was there. I don't know why they kept him off TV. Not that I'm complaining. The less we see a Big Show on television, the better for him. I don't mean that as an insult. I mean that as I think Big Show can mean something, but he's just so overexposed. You know, you start to take his size for granted. He just becomes another guy. And so I think it's I doubt that this is their plan, because they've misused him for so many years that I don't know that they're going to change it now. It was main event time, and then the main event was Roman Reigns and Dean Ambrose defeating Seth Rollins and Luke Harper in 13:06, and the finish of this was Kane ended up throwing Rollins back inside the ring, and John wrote that he ate a spear for the win. I don't remember if it was that. I may be getting confused with an earlier Superman punch. John's probably right. I thought it was a Superman punch, but it probably was a spear. That's usually what Reigns gets the win with. So I'm going to assume John was right on that one. Either way, Reigns pinned Seth Rollins to win the match for his team. Good main event action, as you would expect from the four guys in there. And obviously they're setting up, this makes Seth look a little vulnerable heading into his title match. It creates a question mark regarding the gatekeeper, the Kane heading into the cage match as well. And then you have Reigns pinning him, which may open the door to a title match for Reigns sooner rather than later. I would vote for later, and just let the guy build up momentum, let people get to a point where they really want to see this, and I don't think we're there yet. And it also, clearly was setting up Ambrose and Harper and for their Chicago street fight. I want to see more from, Ambrose and Harper. I'd like to see real promos, a real storyline between these guys. Why is Harper going after Ambrose? What is it? What's the feud about? And they're just throwing them out there on television on a regular basis. That was basically it. As John notes, Tom Phillips did point out that Reigns just pinned the WWE World Heavyweight Champion, and then he and Lawler kind of had a debate over whether Kane was trying to stop the referee's 10 count to prevent Rollins from being counted out of the match, or throwing him back in and basically feeding him to the wolves, in this case Roman Reigns. So, which is a logical approach. You leave people kind of questioning where Kane is at going into Sunday. So it was a good episode of SmackDown. I thought it flew by nicely. I did have the benefit. I opened the softball season last night. I played softball on Thursday nights, and so that's another reason that I couldn't fill in for Jake. But so I had the benefit of kind of speeding through all the commercial breaks. So it naturally, when I'm used to watching 3 hours plus of Raw and watching all the commercial breaks, SmackDown feels like a breeze. So the show had that going for it. But I really didn't feel like there was a bunch of wasted airtime. It wasn't like we got a bunch of matches that really didn't play into anything. I thought just about everything on the show had a purpose as far as doing something for Extreme Rules coming up on Sunday. And I'm just looking back through to I don't think there was much in the way of filler. Neville getting a win, but it also involved other guys who were advertised to the pay-per-view. Like I say, who knows what the Daniel Bryan situation, who knows if Neville is also ultimately going to be added to that lineup as well. Just throwing that out there as a possibility. Nothing I've heard at all. But don't forget, you can follow along with my live coverage coming up on Sunday night via the ProWrestling.net website, app, mobile site, whatever works best for you. That will be available for everyone starting at 6 Central, 7 Eastern with the kickoff show. And then .net members will have exclusive access to my audio review of the show on Sunday night. We'd love to have you on the ad-free version of the site. Check out the ProWrestling.net main page for all the details on that. Look for that sign-up area for as little as $5.50 a month if you take our annual option, or $7.50 for just 1 month if you just want to try it out. You can have access and enjoy ad-free access on the website to ProWrestling.net during Extreme Rules on Sunday. Hopefully, I think it's going to be a decent show. I'm not blown away by all the gimmickry. I never am. I could do with, you know, a couple gimmick matches on the show and everything else be just standard matches, but that's not what they do. I think it's one of those shows that I'm not feeling all that excited about going in, but once the show begins, I think it should be okay. But we'll find out together coming up on Sunday night. Thank you so much for listening, and thank you for supporting us here at ProWrestling.net. Take care.